sunny Sturgis site to go to. The spring is sprung, I'm surprised you still have snow. A long time ago, preached one of my first sermons, and I asked one of the old
men of the church what he there we go, what he actually thought of it, and he said, don't leave your day job. So I continued preaching now and then. I just don't ask for advice anymore, and that helps quite a bit. You'll see that the title to my sermon for you today is called The Greatest News Ever Heard, and I apologize to Kristen, who's joined us today, because she's heard this already. But it actually was delivered on Easter morning. And it's about the resurrection. We ought to speak about the resurrection just about all the time. It's one of the most glorious things, and the things that it actually means to us are very powerful. So I'm hopeful that you will believe that as well. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we come to you now to open your word, to exposit your word, to hear it. And Lord God, we pray to be changed by it. We thank you, Father, that you have given us this word which has lasted down through the ages, untainted and unchanged, and is as powerful as the day it was written. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. John 20, verses 11 through 18 states, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, where you've laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." It's interesting to note that the first person who shared the gospel was a lady. So that's good. So she's the first to share the greatest news ever heard. In other words, the resurrection. So what I want to unfold a bit this morning is why is this the greatest news ever heard? And the first reason is because it's true. Secondly, because it came after an apparent defeat. Jesus had been killed on the cross. Thirdly, because of all it actually proves. And finally, because it demands a life-saving response. So the greatest news we ever heard, because it's true. If you think about it for very long, really think about it, this could not have been made up. It couldn't have been made up in collusion, because if they had all made it up together, the story would have been identical. But we know in the various accounts there are various things that are emphasized. How many angels were there? Who was together at the tomb? What time did they get there? Those things are all a little bit different in the different accounts. And it couldn't have been made up separately, because it would have been even worse then. They wouldn't have agreed on anything. And so the truth of the matter, of course, is it was not made up. This is yet the word of God and a great and wondrous thing to us. When the angel of the Lord rolled away the stone, one of the things that we tend to forget is that there were Roman guards there. And they fell down as dead, it says in one of the accounts, and so on. To allow the body of Jesus to be taken away was a death sentence to those guards. Just think about that. And yet, they fell to the ground with nothing they could do about it. The Roman guards would suffer death because of this. Again, if it was just a hoax, that wouldn't have happened. Next, the evidence of the moved stone, the empty tomb, the undisturbed grave clothes. It would have been easy to reproduce the body if it would just been taken away and Jesus was somewhere else. At some point, they would have just brought him out and displayed him, and Christianity would have been shot out of the water. Everything that we believe today about that. One thing that you have to think about, too, as we go further into this, is the changed character of the apostles. Where were they? They were hidden away. They were you know, despondent and in fear of the Romans and all these different things. They were just a bunch of cowards hunkering together in the dark. And now they became mighty proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, willing to die for that message. And many of them did. If it were a hoax, if it were not true, would that be the case? Would it have been handed down all these centuries to us, unscathed and as powerful as the day it was first spoken? Then, of course, there are the multiple appearances of Jesus after the resurrection, even to as many as 500 people. And one of the things that I think is very powerful is that suddenly the day of worship changed from the Jewish Sabbath, the Saturday, to the resurrection day, Sunday. That's pretty powerful too. And so this was not a lie. It wasn't fake. It's the truth. Well, secondly, first of all, because it's true, and secondly, because it came after an apparent defeat. I don't know about you. I have for many years loved to read about the great sailing ships of Britain when they were the king of the seas and hornblower series and things like that, those stories and so on. And also of the great land stories that were true of England and France and so on and so forth. Well, on another Sunday long ago, June 18th, a Sunday in 1815, was the Battle of Waterloo. And this was the British General Wellington's vast army against Napoleon's vast army at a place called Waterloo. And at that time, as you well know, there were no radios, there were no telephones, there were no telegrams. About the only way you could share a message over a distance was with semaphore flags or flags on a ship that would spell out a message and so on, very laborious, but very effective. And England knew that the battle was going on, and they waited anxiously to hear the news. Have we defeated France? Because if not, Napoleon would be coming to our shores as his next big place to conquer. An English ship sailed out of the fog and lifted the message that said, Wellington defeated. And the fog came back down. And the semaphore carriers from hilltop to hilltop and so on sent the message, Wellington defeated. And all of Britain heard it and were mourning because this meant horrible things for England. The news went from hilltop to hilltop by semaphore, and England mourned. But in 3 days, the fog lifted, and they could see the ship more clearly, and the full message was sent, Wellington defeated the enemy. And England rejoiced. So such was the news of the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. For all those who were there and witnessed it, humanly speaking, he was dead. The story is over. Everything he stood for was in the grave. Now, Jesus had foretold his resurrection. You know that? Well, if you don't, you don't know how. In John 2, 19 and 20, Jesus told the Jews, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And the Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. And how can you say you'll raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of his body, the scriptures say. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. But before actually seeing him in the flesh, they were just cowering cowards, not believing what he had said. Excuse me. So on the day of the crucifixion, defeated, afraid, filled with sadness, they think Christ has been defeated, wrong has triumphed, sin has won. But on the third day, the fog lifted. And the message was proclaimed, Jesus Christ is risen today. He has defeated the enemy. Well, because of all the resurrection proves, is another important point why this is so important and the best news ever told. In essence, the resurrection says some very, very important things about the whole essential doctrines of Christianity. Without it, we don't have a lot of hope. And the first thing it says is that there is a God, and the God of the Bible is the true God. One of the old commentators wrote concerning the resurrection, that certainly was an acid test of the existence of the God who Jesus preached, and his God stood the test. He did exactly the apparently impossible thing that our Lord Jesus said he would do. The fact that Jesus was thus miraculously and marvelously raised makes it certain that the God who did it really exists, and that that God who he preached is our God. So the resurrection proves that there is a God and he is the true God, and it also proves that Jesus is God. He claimed to be equal to God and that his God would raise him from the dead, which is lunacy or blasphemy or both, or truth. And so it is concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's Romans 1, 3, and 4. Therefore, if Jesus is God, then God is like Jesus. And that's an important point. God is not distant. He's not arbitrary, just doing random things on a whim. He's not unpredictable. And he's not unreal. Jesus is the God who is, who came to earth to ransom us from the penalty of sins. We do the confession of sins and the absolution as well at our church every Sunday. And I think that time of just quiet confession, when you have an opportunity to really just speak between you and God, to remember the things that you've done that you should have not done, the things you have not done that you should have done, the things you did this morning, which I guarantee you did, that are sins, and recognize how great is our salvation. Over and over and over again, we prove that we don't deserve it. Every single day. So it's good that you do what you do. Jesus has shown via his resurrection that God the Father has accepted Christ's atonement for sin. Don't let that shoot over your heads or fall asleep when he said that. The resurrection proves that the price Jesus paid was accepted by the Father. You see that? That means that it really did forgive us our sins. That it really did pay for it, and the Father accepted it, proving that by raising him from the dead. Another quote from another theologian. When Jesus died, he died as my representative, and I died in him. When he arose as my representative, and I arose in him. When he ascended on high and took his place at the right hand of the Father of glory, he ascended as my representative, and I ascended in him. And today I am seated with Christ, with God, in the heavenlies. I look at the cross of Christ, and I know that atonement has been made for my sins. I look at the open grave and the risen and ascended Lord, and I know that the atonement has been accepted. Praise God. There no longer remains a single sin on me, no matter how many or how great my sins have been. And finally, Jesus' resurrection is evidence of our future resurrection, of life with Jesus in glory, beyond the grave. I was sharing with someone this morning, we have a little devotional that my wife and I go through each day, along with a bunch of other stuff that we do and pray together and so on. But it's a devotional written by Billy Graham. And I've always thought Billy Graham was kind of shallow. He just kind of preached the gospel, and that was about it. It's good stuff. Good stuff. And the neat thing is to think of where he's at right now. Oh, man. This mortal plane completely left behind and actually seeing the face of Jesus. Wow. I think about that every morning. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Praise his name. Some of you have no doubt heard a little bit of a Pope's recent comment to a friend that there is no hell. I don't know if you've heard that or not. It was on the news. I don't know exactly what the situation was, but the head of the Catholic Church apparently told a friend that he didn't think that there was any hell, that the friend had nothing to fear in death. Seems to me to be one of the more dumb things I've heard said, a foolish statement for any Christian to say. When the Spirit of God is in us, confirming to our deepest understanding that we are his, then all the ramifications of that are for our lives. The deep, deep things of God are true. That Jesus' words are the word of God and that they're trustworthy and true. Do you doubt that? If you're a Christian, you don't doubt that. It's just like, the Holy Spirit has done that for you. His words are the word of God and they're trustworthy and true. And by the way, if Jesus warned about hell, there's a hell. No doubt about it. And thirdly, if we are in Christ, then the truths of which Jesus assures us, deep within our hearts and our minds by his Spirit, we believe. And we'd be willing to experience persecution, perhaps even death, before we would deny those truths. And I know the weakness of the flesh is something else that it's hard to understand, and in weakness we might deny, but not in here we would know what is true. The greatest news ever heard. So, dear friends, has the Holy Spirit spoken to you? Spoken to your heart these truths that I've shared with you? Does the truth of the resurrection seem just like a good children's story for Sunday school? Take it or leave it, kind of like Santa Claus or Easter Bunny, who I shot last week. Does the resurrection of Jesus belong just to the church as a doctrine without any real application to you? If that's where you are, I beg of you to run, to flee to the cross of Christ. Flee to the empty tomb and implore the living God to apply the precious blood of Jesus to you and be saved. Amen. Let me pray for us in closing. Father, the greatest news ever heard means that you, dear Father, have not left us to perish, that you have provided a way, indeed the way, the truth, and the life, who is our precious Lord Jesus. You purchased us on the cross and you lifted us from certain eternal punishment and hell. You alone are worthy. and we will be forever thankful for your power, your mercy, and your willingness to save. Amen.
Please stand for